As y'all know, for the Wednesday nights, we've been training up our youth, and we have also been going through lessons from the Psalms. And so tonight, we're going to be looking at Psalm 23. And what other psalm, actually, what other scripture is more known than the 23rd Psalm? I would say that if you were to go up to ask someone if they knew about Psalm 23, they would say, yes, the Lord is my shepherd. They would know exactly what you're talking about. They could put it on the same level as John 3:16 for a verse that they know off the top of the head. And so with that being said, that is what we are going to look at tonight. And I appreciate the scripture reading, the songs, and the prayer. And if you notice the scripture readings, Chad, he's the one who asked for the scripture readings from the men who are going to present the lesson. And, well, this one, I strategically put these like this for a reason. They're all in order. Because, personally, I didn't know too much about David's life, to tell you the truth. And so, I was reading through Samuel, that is 1st and 2nd Samuel, and even up to Kings. If you want to learn about the life of David, read from 1 Samuel chapter 16 all the way through 1 Kings chapter 2. And you'll get a summary of David's life. And also his life is also mentioned in Chronicles. And so right here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, we learn about how David, he's anointed by Samuel the prophet. Then you get all the way to 2 Samuel, and by this time, he has already been anointed king over Judah and all of Israel. And so he was king over the United Kingdom of Israel at that time in 2 Samuel. Then over here in 1 Kings chapter 2, that's when David says, I go the way of all the earth. He was about to depart from this life. And I'm reminded that he would, or that there is a prayer recorded for us in Psalm chapter 90. It's actually by Moses, the man of God. And he would say that the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason are if by reason of strength there are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, verses 10 through 12. And so, if y'all want to be able to have it in y'all's mind about which kings ruled when, well, 1 Samuel, that's the reign of King Saul. 2 Samuel, that's the reign of King David. Then 1 King, that starts the reign of Solomon. And so if y'all want to have a little outline in y'all's minds, and I also heard from an older gospel preacher, if you want to be able to get the Bible in your mind, memorize one point from each chapter, and then you'll be able to, well, let's say you're going through something, you can say, well, chapter 12 of this book, it says something, and I'm going through this difficult time in my life, let me go to that so I can get help from God in the scriptures. And so, with that being said, let's go to Psalm chapter 23. I believe that many of y'all are there already. And whenever it comes to the Psalms, I was looking at how many David had wrote. And it's estimated, I counted up 73. However, I've seen numbers as high as 85. And so we know that it's over 70 for sure. So that's nearly half of the book of Psalms that David penned by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And so with that being said, let's read this psalm through. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, or literally all the days of my life. And so here we're going to want to dissect this psalm, and we're going to want to see, well, three things. I want to go through it and look at how, well, number one, David went through these things. And then number two, I also want to be able to reference Christ, since we know that David was a type of Christ. I want to see some references, how we can compare this to the life of Christ. Then number three, some practical application. How can we apply this into our lives? What can I be able to take from the book of Psalms, specifically Psalm 23? Now notice here, the first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Literally, "I shall not lack." And, well, we think about David in 1 Samuel 16, and he was a keeper of his father Jesse's sheep. And so that was his duty. And he's saying, though I'm a shepherd, the Lord is the true shepherd. I'm reminded in John chapter 10 that Jesus would say, "I am the good shepherd." And we know that a shepherd, he takes care of his sheep. The same thing is true with Jesus. He takes care of his people. He can be able to protect us from the enemy, from the wolf. I'm reminded that the devil, he is as a roaring lion. And so Peter would say, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood who are in the world." And then that was in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 8 and following. And so with this being said, the Lord is my shepherd, I want us to go to a reference verse. And it's going to be in 2 Samuel. And so if y'all would please turn with me to 2 Samuel. And if I'm not mistaken, I think it's chapter 7. Let me see real quick. If not, it's chapter... Oh, I'm in 2 Chronicles. Give me a second real quick. So let's go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. Actually, it's chapter 5. Chapter 5. Now here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, we're going to read verses 1 through 5, and we're going to learn something. Now, verse 1 says, "Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, 'Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord said to you, you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel.' Therefore, all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord, and they anointed David king over Israel." Now notice, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. I'm reminded that the Bible says in Luke 3, verse 23, that Jesus started his ministry at about age 30. Verse 5, "In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah." I'm reminded that Jesus the Christ, he reigned king over all Israel and Judah for 33 years, ever since the day of his birth. And now, let's go back to verse 2. Notice what it says. "Also, in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And notice what the Lord said to you. You shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over Israel." I'm reminded, as we mentioned moments ago, that David, he was a keeper of the sheep. And he went from shepherding these physical sheep to actually shepherding all of God's people, these spiritual sheep. And it made me think about what Jesus would say, that he who is faithful in what is least is also faithful in what is much. And he who is unjust in what is least is also unjust in what is much. And so David, he was a loyal shepherd. He was a great keeper of sheep. And also that was Luke 16:10, verse that I referenced. And this reminds me about how Jesus, in Hebrews 13, he's called that great shepherd of the sheep. The Hebrews writer would say, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, who through the blood of the everlasting covenant, he says, make you complete in all good things, or make you complete in all things, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Hebrews 13, verses 20 and 21. And so the Lord is my shepherd. David knew that. And so we ought to follow the shepherd wherever he goes. Now, verse 2 of Psalm 23. Verse 2 of Psalm 23. And notice what it says right here in verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. I'm reminded that David, he had been chased by Saul for many, or for a while, and he was, well, one step away from death. That's what he would say out of his own lips. And so for him to be able to be lie down in these green pastures, to be able to be led beside these still waters, it didn't come easy. He had to overcome death many a times. And it reminds me of us about how we're sheep under the Lord Jesus's watch. And for us to be make it here to the golden streets of glory, for us to have that peace, to have no crying nor sorrow nor tears, it's going to take everything that we have, like David, how he was a man after God's own heart. But we know that the reward, it will be worth it. It's the greatest retirement, if I could say it that way, after we leave this life. Now, verse 3, it says, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I'm reminded that the psalmist would say that all God's commandments are righteousness. And so what was David doing? He was following the words of God. He was doing it even if it meant, well, it almost cost him his life. He went through all these different trials and the Lord was leading him. I'm reminded that he would inquire of the Lord time and time again. And, well, the Lord would say, look, you got to go over here. And if he went over there, that means that he was going to have to face his enemies, or he was going to have to face his brethren who didn't like him. But yet he still did it. He still went. He was being led in the paths of righteousness for God's sake. And he was getting his soul restored by God as well. Now, verse 4. Now, this is the second section of this psalm right here. Now, notice what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I was contemplating this psalm, trying to see about how to go about teaching it. And whenever I looked at this verse where David says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it reminded me about how oft David was in valleys. He was fighting these different enemies. I want to say that the first valley that we read of him being in was in a valley against a Philistine named Goliath. And that's 1 Samuel chapter 17. And this giant, he was defying the armies of the living God for 40 days straight. And no one wanted to come after him. But David, in the strength of his God, he went. And he was able to defeat that giant. And I'm reminded that God is able to help us through his word to be able to defeat those giants in our lives as well. But we got to trust him. We got to take him at his word and do it. He's our rock. And so when it comes to the valley of the shadow of death, he was facing enemies so much. As I was reading through the life of David, I didn't know how much blood he shed. And so he really was a man of war. After I kept on reading that, I was realizing that. And many a times he was going through the valley of the shadow of death. And now notice what he would go on to say. He will fear no evil. I'm reminded that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind, a healthy mind. And then he would go on to say, "For you are with me." And as we read in 1 Samuel chapter 16, after Samuel had anointed David, well, the Lord was with him from that day forward. And then notice how this verse ends. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." The shepherd, he had these two instruments in his hand. He had a rod for dealing out punishment. He also had a crook or a staff to be able to guide the sheep in the way that he should go. And we learn right there about the balanced nature of God. I'm reminded that, well, we know that there's the goodness of God and the severity of God as well. Romans 11, verse 22. Then in verse 5, notice what the text says. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." When thinking about how God was preparing a table for David in the presence of his enemies, it made me think about how his own son, Absalom, he was trying to kill his own father. One who was born of him, one who was his own descendant, was trying to kill him. God really did prepare him a table before him in the presence of his enemies. I'm reminded about the Lord Jesus on that night, that Passover feast, before he was going to be crucified. God, his Father, had prepared him a table in the presence of his enemy, Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus for only 30 pieces of silver, the price of a common slave, the book of Exodus would say. And so right here, we learn about how David, he did have a table prepared before him in the presence of his enemies. Then the next we read of is how God anointed his head with oil. And so with that being said, I want to look at some passages that show that. We've already read one of them. The next one is going to be found in 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2 at verse 1. And the context is that in 1 Samuel chapter 31, the last chapter, we learn about how King Saul, he died. He died by committing suicide. I want to say that he fell on his own. Let's see. I don't want to speak a lie. He fell on his own sword, according to 1 Samuel 31, verse 4. And so when we get to 2 Samuel chapter 2, notice what it says in the first verse. It says, "It happened after this." Well, what's this? That's the previous chapter when this Amalekite comes to King David and he says that he's the one who had killed King Saul and that he took his crown off his head and he took the bracelet off his arm. So that's what he was referring to. And then David, well, he had that Amalekite killed. And the only reason that the Amalekite thought that he was going to get rewarded is because Saul had been seeking David's life for a long time. But even though Saul was seeking David's life, David had two opportunities to be able to kill him, and he didn't. He spared his life. And so we see the mercy that David showed to his enemies. Now, 2 Samuel chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "It happened after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go up to any of the cities of Judah?' And the Lord said to him, 'Go up.' David said, 'Where shall I go up?' And he said, 'To Hebron.' So David went up there, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. And David brought up the men who were with him, every man with his household. So they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. Then the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, 'These men of Jabesh Gilead were the ones who buried Saul.'" And so I say all that to say this, that God did anoint David. He anointed him one time in 1 Samuel chapter 16 by the hand of Samuel the prophet. Then the second time was right here in 2 Samuel chapter 4. He was only anointed king over Judah, which was the southern kingdom of the United Kingdom of Israel. Then in 2 Samuel chapter 5, that is when he is anointed king over all Israel as well. And so God did anoint David. Now, as we continue through Psalm chapter 23, or Psalm 23, I don't like to say chapters because they're not chapters. They're each separate. So that's why the correction. Now, let's go to verse 5. Verse 5. Psalm 23, verse 5. He says, "You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over." Notice how David's cup, it was running over. Literally, his lot, his portion allotted him. I'm reminded that he would say that the lines had fallen to him in pleasant places. And I was thinking, what does he mean by that when he said that the lines had fallen to him in pleasant places? Well, whenever we learn about how the different tribes of Israel were allotted land, well, each 12 tribes, they had their own piece of land in which they would dwell in. And as I was looking at the maps, Judah was one of the biggest, and it actually might in fact have been the biggest. And so his line, or the lines, his portion allotted him, it was very pleasant. His cup of blessing ran over, if I could say it that way. Now, verse 6, notice what the scriptures say right here in verse 6. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." He said, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow him." I was thinking about how this would be, and then I thought about it. I want to say that it's found in 2 Samuel. So let's be going there real quick. We're going to read about Nabal and his wife Abigail. Or actually, it's going to be in 1 Samuel. In 1 Samuel. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 25. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Now, we're going to read at verse 7. Now, if someone could please read that verse for us, actually. 2 Samuel 25, verse 7. Thank you for reading that, Mr. Smithy. And so the context is that there was this man named Nabal. His name literally means fool. And he was a rich man. And he had these different shepherds tending to his sheep. And well, David, while he was on the run from Saul, he seen this man's shepherds and his sheep. And they were taking care of him. They were making sure, as Mr. Smithy had read, that nothing was taken from them. They were protected. And then in return for the same, David sent 10 young men to be able to go to him and get some food, some goods, so that they could be able to be repaid with good for the good that they had shown his shepherds and his sheep. But this man, Nabal, he was a stingy man, if I could say it that way. He didn't want to share. And we're going to see that here at verse 10. Notice what verse 10 says. "Then Nabal answered David's servants and said, 'Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants nowadays who break away each one from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men that I do not know where they are from?'" Oh, these words of Nabal, they really incensed David after the 10 young men had came back to him and brought him word about what he had said. And so David, at this point, he is gearing up with his men, and they're about to go. They're about to kill everything. He said that not one person, not one young man was going to be left until the light of next day. But notice what happens. we learn about how Nabal's wife, Abigail, she was a woman of understanding, and she was not going to let that happen. She was trying to make a peace treaty. Let's go to verse 18. Verse 18. Notice what the scriptures say right here. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 sheep already dressed, 5 sheaves of roasted grain, 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and loaded them on donkeys. And she said to her servants, "Go on before me. See, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And so then she sends these goods to David, and then he relents from the attack that he was going to have on Nabal's shepherds, on his possessions. And we learn in the text that Nabal, he got very drunk that night, and so she didn't tell him what she had did, but the next day she told him what he had, she told him what she had did with those goods, and it says that literally his heart left him. He was dead afraid, and in 10 days he died. And so I say all that to say this: goodness was following David where he went. He had paid someone good, and he got repaid good. It wasn't by that man, but ultimately it was from the Lord. Goodness was following him. Then we also learn back over there in Psalm 23 about how he says that not only goodness was going to follow him, he said mercy. Mercy was going to follow him, and indeed that is true. I'm reminded after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, well, this was going to give a great occasion for the nations round about them to speak evil, to give them occasion to speak bad about the people of God. And we learn that God, he had forgave him. He said that the sin is taken away, but then he had to face the consequences. He could have died then, like his son had died. But no, God showed him great mercy. Nevertheless, he had to go through with the consequences the rest of his life. And so the mercy that he had been showed by God, he was showing that to others. He showed mercy to King Saul. He could have killed him twice. He showed mercy to one of Saul's descendants. I want to say his name was Shimei. After he was cursing him, he said, "Look, I'm going to let him live." And also, he was showing mercy to his own son, Absalom, even after Absalom wanted to kill him and take the kingdom from him. And so we learned that that mercy that David was shown by God, he was showing it to others as well. Now let's continue to read verse 6. The scripture says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." If we go 4 Psalms in advance to Psalm chapter 27, we learn of something great that David had said. He would say in Psalm 27 at verse 4, "One thing have I desired from the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire at his temple, to behold the beauty of the Lord." And so his desire was to dwell in the house of his God forever. And we know that though David was a man of war, or since David was a man of war, he couldn't build that temple for his God, but ultimately his son David would, through all the spoils that David had gathered from the plundering of the nations or the kingdoms round about him, the different cities. And so David, he wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life. And it was through this man who sought God with all of his heart, that all the goods, all the resources were brought in to be able to have that temple built one day. And we know that there was none other like it, that it was one of a kind, a special place for the Almighty God. And so with that being said, let me check the time real quick. Oh, okay. I did not notice that. I thought I was going to be scarce of time. Okay, I'm gonna close out, and then I'll be very, very quick. Okay, sorry. Thank you for your time.